70,000 people dead, 1 million refugees, and a country in ruins. 2 years of civil war in Syria has been nothing short of devastating. And it's no surprise then that the country's strongman is starting to face up to that reality. In his first interview with the Western media in over a year now, President Bashar al-Assad says his regime is prepared to negotiate with the rebels, but under strict conditions. Hala Shaber is the Middle East correspondent for the Sunday Times. She conducted this interview with President Assad over the weekend. And she outlined to us the president's demeanour a short time ago from the Syrian capital, Damascus.
Or he came across as a president or a leader, still very much in touch with what's going on in his country, but also very calm. Given the difference in the deterioration, if you want, of the situation since I last interviewed him 14 months ago, and the situation has deteriorated incredibly, you would have thought that you would find somebody where he was very nervous or he was worried or over-concerned, especially that we have been reading us as media and the world at large about, that he's lost touch and he's underground and he's afraid, and he didn't come across as any of the above.
So what do you think was his key message here? Because I note that he told you in the interview that his government was ready to, quote, negotiate with anyone, including militants who surrender their arms. Do you think that was his key message, or what was his key point?
Yes, that was a very important message. This is the first time that the president or the leader of this, the president of Syria actually separates, and that, people may think it's nothing, but actually it might be minor, but it's very important. He always referred to them, as all of them, as terrorists. The fact that he's now separating between Al-Qaeda and affiliates and other rebels, and he's accepting the idea, or actually not even accepting, he's actually declaring that he is willing to stretch out and to talk to rebels who would lay down their arms, is a separation and is a move forward in itself. So this is huge in its own way, even if people don't see it that way yet. Plus the fact that also, while he's saying this, he's also addressing the West, who were talking recently, or at least suggesting, even if they're not doing it yet, but that there might be possibility of arming the rebels. So it's interlinked. Both of it is interlinked.
So this change in language you detected, did you see any sign, or have you seen in your work more broadly there in Damascus, any tangible signs on the ground that there is a negotiating process underway, any back-channel efforts with the rebels?
Well, there has been negotiations for the last maybe year, maybe less. They have a minister who is like a minister of negotiations, whom the Syrian leader, President Bashar Assad, assigned in order to concentrate on trying to talk to the opposition, activists, rebels, both internally and externally, and see how they can sort of get together or at least agree on a mutual something or a start, to see how they can move this forward. Because it looks like, both sides are now beginning to realize that the military solution is not a solution for either one, and that they have to take it beyond that, or they have to, they have to move into a political dialogue of some sort. So this has been ongoing. Now, we know also, obviously, we know over, I've been visiting Syria over the past years nonstop, back and forth. We also know that the Minister of Negotiations has been talking to some of the opposition. They don't declare everything because they are also keeping back. They're not promoting or naming who they're talking to and what they've reached. They have suggested that there has been some small group, even not the major group maybe, but some small groups of armed rebels that have actually agreed in some villages to lay down their arms and try for negotiations. But they don't want to put everything out in public at the moment. So there is something cooking, yes. How much of it, I'm not privy to that, obviously.
And when you say something cooking, was there any sign for you that the president is looking at a transition plan for himself?
At the moment, what we've heard from the opposition and from the government here is that everybody, and obviously from the backers, whether it's Russia, Iran, the United States, Britain, UK, France, what have you, that everyone is looking at initially, at least getting to a point where they initially establish something like a transitional government.
It's clear from your interview that the president is unimpressed with some of the international community's efforts in supporting the rebels, and he described Britain, the government of David Cameron, as acting in a, quote, naive, confused and unrealistic manner. What was he referring to then?
In particular with the UK, he referred to both things. First, from a historical point of view of the British history, if you want, or policies in the region, and that just it wasn't just applicable to the crisis in Syria at the moment. It was the UK's policies, whether it was with the Palestinian issue, whether it was with Iraq during the Iraq War, and now currently in Syria. So he was suggesting that their history or the policies in the region, given their history in the past in the region, that they should, they are more aware of it than, say, the Americans are or the French are, that, they have failed the region and people are being, disillusioned by their intentions here. Now, then he moved it also to the current date, if you want, and as far as, the current crisis is, when you have the British government has been very voiceful about wanting or hoping that, the EU would change the embargo and allow for the arming of the rebels. So from that context, he was saying that this is not going to solve the problem, and he's calling them confused and because he's suggesting that the more we're arming on both sides, or the more this battle goes on militarily, it's not going to reach a solution. The idea is you should be encouraging dialogue at the moment rather than encouraging further war and fight.
What is the level of support there in Damascus for President Assad and his regime? And is it rock solid or is it dwindling?
When we say, again, it's something that we don't have, we don't have statistics on, but how we read it is by looking at why the regime has lasted for 2 years, in particular in Damascus, when you have a huge number of Sunnis, which are supposed to be part of the people assume that because they're Sunnis, they're against. The traders, the businessmen, the politicians, the security, many of them are also senior Sunni figures. His army hasn't fallen apart. There is some support, obviously, that has allowed for him to remain so far, despite what's happened in 2 years. So yes, he has support, and he has more support than we expect. And it may not be just in numbers, but it's also of who's supporting. If you want to talk about text, it's not, people have portrayed it, or media has portrayed it as it's a purely Alawite against Sunni thing. But when you look at it, it can't be that, because a lot of the Sunnis are still, even if it's not out of love for him, even if it's not in agreement with him totally, it's either him or the other side, which a lot of people are really worried, and a silent majority that was opposed and wanted reforms and changing are saying, well, hold on a second, no, we'd rather stick with this because we know where this is going and what it represents than the Islamists and the Salafists and the Takfiris and the foreign fighters and the AQ affiliate group.
Hala Jaber, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you very much.
Hala Jaber is the Middle East correspondent for the Sunday Times newspaper, joining us there from the Syrian capital, Damascus. And in other related news overnight, at least 40 Syrian soldiers were killed in Iraq when their convoy was attacked near the border between the two countries. It's the first time such a large number of Syrian troops have been killed outside the country's borders. There have been deaths over the borders before, but these have largely been civilian deaths. It's 7 minutes to 8:00.